It is good to be with Him. If you would, just pray with me. Lord God, I thank You so much for Your presence here among us. I thank You, Father, for the journey that You have us on even now. And I thank You, Lord, that You're not done with us yet. I thank You, God, for Your Word, and I thank You for the opportunity that we have today to hear from Your Word. I ask, God, that the words of my mouth would be Yours and Yours alone, God, that Your message will be proclaimed in this place, God, and that You would give us the courage and the strength to say yes to You. Whatever it is that You might be calling us to, wherever it is that You might be moving us, God, I pray that You would help us to take the next step in our journey with You today. We submit, God, to You and to Your Holy Spirit. Have Your way in this place. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today we continue on in our sermon series through the book of Exodus. And we're continuing on in the story here where we've already talked about how it is that the people of Israel got into this mess in the first place, right? We know how they got to Egypt and how they became enslaved there. Then last week we talked about how God sent Moses to go and bring them out, to kind of be that one who would go with the message of freedom, right? And unfortunately, Moses was not as excited about that as God was, and how we can all sort of struggle with those things that God tells us to do sometimes. Today we continue on in the story to for what is, I think, probably the one story in the Bible that every other story kind of comes back around. Like, even the story of Jesus Himself, people understood, like, who He was and how it was that He was the Messiah, and in the same way that God delivered the people of Israel from Egypt, right? Like, that's the context in which they know, like, how Jesus is redeeming people and atoning and all those types of things. That's the story that they fall back on. And so today we're gonna look at this, and I want to give you a little bit of background before we get into the scripture itself. We're gonna be in Exodus chapter 12, by the way. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn there now. So as we talked about last week, God sends Moses to Egypt to go and to bring His people out of slavery. And eventually, Moses goes with Aaron, kicking and screaming, right, and throwing his own little fit. But he eventually goes. Well, when he gets there, and this is what's very interesting, when he gets there, he starts to talk to Pharaoh, and he begins to tell him what God told him. So Moses and Aaron telling Pharaoh what's going on. And Pharaoh is not down with all of Israel just leaving Egypt, right? Like, he wants them to stay. He's like, who else is going to do all this work for them if the Israelites aren't there? Like, who's going to make all these bricks and all this kind of stuff, right? Who's going to build all these buildings? And so God then begins to carry out these plagues on Egypt, right? And all kinds of nasty things. From water being turned to blood, and there's frogs, and there's gnats, and it's just nastiness all over the place. There's carnage everywhere, and but with each time, it's like the Pharaoh would see this plague and would be like, oh, well, obviously, like, God must be something. So okay, you guys can go. And then the last minute, he would say, no, I'm just kidding. You can't. And then the next plague would have to come, and then the next plague would have to come, until we get to the 10th plague, which was the plague of the firstborn. And the idea here is, and this is, like, one of the things we need to recognize here is that God is pretty hardcore about His people. Like, He loves you so much that He's willing to do anything for you. Like, you need to know this, right? So this last plague that He sends over Egypt is the plague of the firstborn, and so the idea is that every firstborn in every household would die. But not only the people, but even the animals. The firstborn animal that they have, like, would die as well. Like, how much is God trying to prove a point to these people that not only does he carry this out on people, but even on the animals that are there, right? Now, there's a way out, though. And that is that God tells Moses and Aaron to tell the people, hey, if you have them do this very particular sacrifice on this particular night, have them sacrifice a lamb and then take the blood from that sacrifice and use a bunch of hyssop. It's a certain plant there. And you're going to use that to take it. And basically, you're going to paint the blood on the doorpost of your house, the door frame of your house. And so over the door frame, then there's going to be this mark there. And when the angel comes on this Passover night, on this when this last plague comes, if the angel sees the blood applied to the doorpost, then the angel will pass over your house, and you will not experience this plague in your household. So they do this, right? They paint the blood on the doorpost, and it says that the next day, when the Israelites woke up, they could hear the wailing of Egypt. And could you imagine this? I mean, this is not just, I want to be clear, this is not just a theory. This is not like God saying, well, hey, if you guys don't shape up, I'm going to do this to you one of these days. No, like imagine, like, one night everybody goes to sleep, the next morning, like, someone is dead in everyone's house. Unless the blood was applied. So the Israelites wake up, and it's just like, hey, it's just another day. Everybody's here. What's the big deal, right? But then they go outside, and they hear the wailing of Egypt. Well, this is where we're going to pick up here in Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 31. It says, during the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go and bless me. Like, I wish I had about 4 hours to talk about that last sentence right there, but I'm going to keep on going here. Verse 33, the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country. So this is not just Pharaoh, but everybody else in Egypt is trying. They're trying to get them Israelites up out of there, right? It says, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. So they're scared. Okay, the firstborn's already dead. Well, if they don't go, it might be all of us next, right? Verse 34. So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. And the Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. So again, I want you just to get this picture here. So Pharaoh says, all right, it's time for y'all to get up out of here. And God made the people so afraid of the Israelites, they were just like, okay, whatever you need to leave, like, I'll give it to you, right? You want my gold? Take my gold, right? You want my silver? Take my silver. You want my clothes? Here, take my clothes. Like, whatever. I'll pack for you, right? Like, I'll hitch it on the donkey for you. Like, woo, go, get out of here, right? Like, you just need to go, right? And in the midst of that, God actually plundered the Egyptians. But the Israelites didn't have to take anything. They gave it to them. If that ain't the Lord right there, I don't know what is. Like, I know some of y'all have been praying about some stuff for a while. Like, there was probably that one request, right, that you were praying about for so long, asking God to move in this real particular way. Like, oh, God, if you would just let me do this and let me do that. And don't you know it is just like God that He will answer your prayer in such a way that you won't even have to do what you thought you had to do. He's not only going to provide it for you, but He's going to have other people do it for you. He's going to have other people make that way for you. All you've got to do is be obedient and faithful enough to take the step and go, right? So Moses tells the people, hey, it's time to go. It's time to move. We can't stay here any longer. And so they had to leave in such a hurry. Because the time was so urgent, they didn't even have time to put yeast in the bread, right? That's why, even as we receive communion as a congregation now, that's why we do that with unleavened bread. bread. See, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Even the story of Christ, right? We receive communion as a way of remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Well, when Jesus was going through all of that with his disciples, they were celebrating the Passover. They were remembering the deliverance of God for the Israelites. And so the reason that we celebrate communion with unleavened bread today is because they didn't have time to leaven their bread. It was time to move. They had to go right now. Now, I got to be honest with you. Some of you know that I have a milk allergy, right? That's my thorn in the flesh, I guess. You know, I'm gonna keep praying that the Lord will take it from me. But if He doesn't, I'm gonna just trust that His grace is sufficient. Amen. But you know, sometimes I'll go to Panera actually. And do you know that because of everything they make at Panera, there's like bagels there. There's like two bagels I can eat at Panera. It's a shame. I'm telling you right now, it's just a shame. One of them is this like whole grain thing that. Don't get me wrong, it's not bad or anything like that, but it's just like, that's just not my ministry, right? Like, I need something that has some... Anyway, I'd really like to be able to just order anything off the menu at Panera. It would be so great. Katie, if you could work that out for me, that'd be awesome, right? But I can't, right? I'd like to be... You know what? Like, in my house... y'all be praying for us. So in my house, we've gone gluten-free in our house, right? I know, I heard some moans out there. It's all right. Y'all just pray for us. And I want you to know, like they make gluten-free bread, which to me seems like an oxymoron right there, right? That just doesn't seem like those two things should go together. And while it is bread... It is not exactly bread, all right? Can we just be honest about that? You know, it would be really nice because the gluten-free bread, it's just, it's a little thicker, right? Like, it's just not the same consistency. I mean, it's still kind of soft, but it's not the same. Like, I'd really like to be able to just sink my teeth into some squishy bread sometimes. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, just pull it off the shelf. And like you could dough it into a ball if you wanted to, like it's that squishy, and just rub it all over my face eating it because it's so nice, right? Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever been to a restaurant where the bread is just so, it just makes you want to just dive in like it's a pool and just let the butter flow and everything? Like, it's, you know what I'm talking about, right? It would be so nice to be able to just eat some squishy bread, right? Amen. It'd be so nice. But I can't do that. Like, I imagine that the Israelites, as they were leaving from Egypt, were probably thinking to themselves, that they would really like to have some squishy bread. They'd like to have a little leavening in that bread. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's nice to have this unleavened stuff and everything. But let's be honest. Like if I get to pick which bread I'm getting, it's not going to be the flat bread, right? It's going to be the squishy bread, right? Like they probably really wanted to have some squishy bread. But what they needed was to get up out of there. You see that? Follow me now. They would have liked to have the bread they were used to. But it was time to move. And when it was time to move, they didn't have time to get the things that they were used to having. See, they had to decide right then, am I gonna stick around here to get the squishy bread that I like, or am I gonna get myself up out of slavery right now? See, they probably like to have some squishy bread, but you can't do squishy bread and be delivered at the same time. Y'all are trying to figure out what this has to do with you, right? See, because they needed deliverance more than they needed squishy bread, right? But they needed deliverance. They needed to get out from under slavery. Like, they needed to be away from that place. They needed to get on to the promised land. Like, they needed to be saved. They needed to be set free. They needed to not be under the oppression of the slave drivers anymore. They needed to do that. They didn't need squishy bread. But if they would have got caught up in what they liked the best, they would have totally missed out on what they needed the most. See, church, this is what I want you to recognize here. I would really like for you to have gobs of money. I would like for you to be able to say that you have no problems in your family whatsoever. I would like for you to say that the last time you went to the doctor, he said or she said that you ain't have nothing wrong with you. In fact, you are in the best shape of your whole life. I would like for you to have so much success in your work and in your business. I would like for you to have the best marriage you have ever had in the existence of humankind. But what I need is for y'all to know Jesus. I need for you to understand how the gospel connects with your life. I need you to know that Jesus died on a cross so that you could be forgiven, but not just so that you could be forgiven. I need you to know that Jesus is empowering you right now to live life for Him. And you don't have to go back to old ways anymore. I would like for you to have all kinds of stuff, but I need you to know Jesus. I need you to be delivered. I need you to be set free. And what that means is that sometimes you might have to let go of some things that you like in order to get the things that you need. I hope you hear that today. I hope you hear that right now. You might have to let go of some things that you like in order to get the things that you need. God is setting you up for success. But if all you want is squishy bread, you might just miss out on everything God has for you. See, I would like for you to know all the books of the Bible in order. I would like for you to know what the word eschatology means. I would like for you to know the difference between pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, and amillennial understanding. I would like for you to know the Beatitudes. I would like for you to be able to quote the entire book of Philippians. But what I need is for you to be a disciple who's making disciples that make disciples. I would like for you to know all those things. Like, I'd like for you to get to a point where you might be able to serve as an elder someday. Like, I would like for you to get to a point where maybe God would call you into ministry someday. Like, I'd like for you to be tithing. I would like for you to be doing all these things that are really good things for the church. But what I need for you to do is to recognize that God has given you a mission. He's given you a way out of where you are. And that includes being a disciple that is following Jesus, who is making disciples to help others follow Jesus, that is also making disciples as we are reproducing ourselves. Like I would like for you to know all these things, but watch this now. I don't need you to know all those things to be a disciple maker. Amen. Watch this now, because we end up using these really good things as excuses to hold us back. Well, Pastor, I would be a disciple that makes disciples, but I don't even know where the book of Thessalonians is. And I sure don't know how to spell it, right? Pastor, I would love to lead other people to Jesus, but all I have is my testimony. Like, I don't even know what's going on in the Old Testament. Like, no idea what's happening there. No idea. Like, I just want you to recognize that I don't need you to be a theological scholar to be used by God to make a difference in somebody else's life. Like, whatever it is that God is already doing in you, watch this now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to say this. I might need to apologize for it, but I'm going to say it anyway. You might not even be saved yet. And whatever it is that God is already doing in you, He can use that to disciple other people. I think I like that, actually. I think that's actually true. Like, think about that. You might not even be fully surrendered to Jesus yourself, but you know that he's already doing some stuff. You see where he's already made some waves. You haven't even fully surrendered yourself to him, but you already know that God is doing something around here. And I'm just letting you know today that even before you fully surrender yourself to Jesus, God can use you to make a positive spiritual impact in other people's lives. How amazing is that? The fact that God could work through people that have yet to arrive in order to then help other people get to where they need to be in Him as well. See, there's a lot of things that I would like to happen. I would like for all of you to be able to experience the squishy bread. But it's time to move, church. It's time to move. And I ain't got, let me say it this way. We ain't got time to wait for the bread to leaven. Right? We ain't got time to add the leaven and to wait for it to do all of its stuff. And we ain't got time for that. People are dying and going to hell even now, right? There are people that are getting lost in their understanding of the Bible and the gospel even now. Like, we ain't got time to wait for the leaven and the bread. We don't have time to wait for squishy bread. It's time to move now. If we're gonna live in our deliverance, then we've got to get going now. We can't wait for anything else to happen. We got to make it happen now. No matter where you are in your own spiritual walk, like, I want you to know God can work in and through you right now. Right now. It's time to move. It's time to move. We can't stand still any longer. We can't stay enslaved any longer. We can't just say this is okay anymore. We can't just imagine that, oh, well it's going to be all right, and if I just stay right here, God will eventually make a way. No, God is making a way. And the way is for you to get up out of here. And to let God use you in what He's wanting to do in your life. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up. And I want to read a couple more verses for you. This is still in Exodus chapter 12, verses 37 and 40. Verse 37 says, "The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children, not even including all the animals they had with them, all that stuff, right? Verse 40 says, "Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. I want you to see this. So many times, God is speaking into our lives, and we hear so clearly that, yeah, it's time to move. Just like when Moses and Aaron went through the Israelite camp and said, hey, it's time to move. We got to go. Get it all together. We ain't got time for leaven. Y'all just come on. We got to go. And we hear that, and then we start looking around at the 600,000 men and all the women and children and all of the animals, and we think to ourselves, well, how in the world are we all going to go somewhere? It's too big of a project. Like, there's too big of a task. Right? How in the world are we all going to get going? How in the world are we all going to get there? It's beyond my understanding how it is that God can take all of us, this million people and all these animals. How is He going to do it? I just want you to know, church, stop getting stuck in how. Step. greater than my means.